You are listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.
See, lawmakers are talking more seriously this year about getting flame-retardant chemicals out of couches and other upholstered products. They're considered dangerous. A bill has already passed the House. What are the chances of it passing the Senate? What's going on here?
Well, you know, I talked to the Senate Energy and Environment Committee Chair, Doug Erickson, last week, and he was pretty optimistic that this some measure on this topic will move this year. The devil is in the details. It has to do with whether some of these chemicals or flame retardants are automatically banned versus some process for reviewing them. But I get, you know, I think that your question alludes to it. Last year, there was interest in doing this, but it died. This year, you start to sense that maybe there is something coalescing on both sides to get it done. And a lot of what happens with these controversial pieces of legislation is the two sides, when they get close enough, are then willing to sit down and sort of work out some of the details. Everybody's got to give a little bit. But I'm getting those signals that maybe that's where they are and that this might actually happen this year.
Austin, thank you so much for speaking to us today. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Austin Jenkins of KUOW's Olympia Bureau. He's our correspondent there. I'm Ross Reynolds, and this is The Record on KUOW.
I'm Marcy Silman. For a closer look at the issue of flame retardant chemicals in politics, we turn to Amy Standen. She's a science reporter for NPR affiliate KQED in San Francisco. Late last year, California Governor Jerry Brown ordered a change in the state flammability standards there. Flame retardant chemicals are no longer required in upholstery. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Marcy.
Austin Jenkins was just telling us about the politics of flame retardants here in Washington State. How big a political battle was this in California?
It's a big battle, and it's one that's really been going on since 1975, which is when the law was first started here. In recent years, there have been about five attempts where lawmakers tried to introduce a bill that would change the law, so changing the requirement that led to all these flame retardants in furniture. And the bills really had a lot of support. They had the support of doctors. They had the support of firefighters. They had environmental support, of course, and every time they were voted down. And a number of us reporters looked into the campaign finance records to try and see what was going on here. And almost without exception, the lawmakers who opposed these bills had received contributions from the chemical industry. And specifically, that's generally a group called the American Chemistry Council.
Now, Amy, the Chicago Tribune broke a huge story about the chemical industry and its fight in California to keep these flame retardants in upholstery. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. It was pretty exciting. What the Tribune reporters did was look into, among other things, is look into a group called Citizens for Fire Safety, which was the group that would show up at these hearings in California lobbying in favor of the chemicals. And the star witness for this group was this guy named Dr. David Heimbach. And what he would do at these hearings, he would come to California, come to Sacramento, and he would tell this very tragic story about a baby who had been badly burned in her crib when her apparently extremely negligent mother either propped up a candle in her crib or right next to it, and maybe a dog knocked it into the crib. And the story goes, you know, the baby was badly burned. If the mattress had been treated with these chemicals, the baby would have been fine. And what the Tribune reporters did was sort of compare the transcripts from these hearings, and they started seeing some inconsistencies in the way this story was told, looked a little more into it, and found out that the story was almost entirely fabricated. And in fact, Heimbach basically recanted it. And this was really embarrassing for the industry. And if you go now to the website for this group, Citizens for Fire Safety, you see it's been taken down. And it was this reporting, I mean, a lot of reporters have reported on this issue for a long time, but it was the Tribune reporting that really kind of, I think, lit a fire under the governor here, Governor Jerry Brown, to actually finally change the law.
It's quite interesting reading. I highly recommend it. I'm talking with Amy Standen, KQED's science reporter. What specifically were the health concerns that really pushed Governor Brown to focus on the state flammability standard change?
Sure. Well, scientists who study these chemicals, and I should point out that there are a number of different kinds of flame retardants, which each have their own kind of concerns attached to them. But I would say there were two sort of broad observations. And one of them is that the chemicals do not seem to stay in furniture. You can find them in household dust. You find them, more worryingly, in human tissue. They show up in urine. They show up in breast milk. The second sort of group of observations is that they seem to have some toxic effects on people and certainly on mice. Some of these chemicals are pretty clearly carcinogenic, at least in mice. And some of them can be are associated, and I'll more on this language in a second, but with endocrine changes in humans, in brain development and fetuses. And the problem with this kind of research, this always happens in environmental health research, is that you can't expose children to chemicals and see what happens.
Right.
So the evidence that you're going to have is always going to be either from mice or it's going to be observational evidence. In this group of kids, the ones who had these problems tended to have the highest level of these chemicals. So, you know, these things are hard to study.
So I'm sitting here. On the one hand, you've got these horrible, the potential for toxic effects of toxic chemicals. On the other hand, you have, you know, randomly burning couches and the effects of burns. How did the governor balance these two issues?
Well, the science is, as I said, always going to, it's never going to be a sort of one-to-one guarantee. But what we really have in this, in the issue of flame retardants, and I would point out that we don't have this for other issues that get a lot more press, like GMOs, for example. What you have with flame retardants is decades of studies from reputable scientists at big universities showing real concern about these chemicals. So that is what the governor pointed to when he said, you know, hey, we got to change this. But another really important and really interesting issue here is that there is another group of scientists who are asking the question, do the chemicals actually prevent fires?
Ah.
And what came to be clear is that the chemicals actually do not prevent fires, and the governor is one of many people to say they may actually make them worse. I mentioned earlier that among the groups opposing or sort of fighting to change the California law were firefighter groups. Firefighter groups say, hey, when these couches catch on fire, they release chemicals that make us sick, but we also think they are making fires worse.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, on the one hand, the chemicals are very likely toxic to humans. On the other hand, they don't prevent fires. You're not seeing much support for them from anyone in California other than the chemical industry. You know, all of these things combined are what led the governor to make the change.
Amy Standen's a science reporter for our NPR affiliate KQED in San Francisco. Amy, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman with Ross Reynolds.